Enduring Endurance, Chapter 1, by Steve Caresser. Ever since my wife's recent major car accident, the one they had to cut her out of with the jaws of life, she broke almost every bone and tore almost every muscle and ligament. I miss her terribly. I remember well the night her car's hydraulic went out, causing the car's steering and brakes to cease working, and at 35 miles per hour, the improperly banked road tossed her car down a hill into a solid oak tree, and it crumbled around her, twisting and chewing her like a pretzel. The front of the car curled up, pushing the steering wheel against her breast, pinning her to the seat and collapsing one of her lungs. She was gasping for every breath. The floorboard of the car had crumbled like a piece of paper around her feet and legs, biting her and holding on like the jaws of a bulldog. My daughter Christy was injured, but she managed to pull herself from the car and trek up the hill to the road and stopped a man passing by in a vehicle. He went and called 911 and me. The man said, "Hey, Steve, now don't worry, she's okay. But she's been in a car accident." I asked, "Who has?" He said, "Your wife and daughter," and gave me directions on how to get there. We had recently moved into the area, and we were not familiar with the old Kentucky back roads, and I was in shock. They're never okay when people tell you they're okay. I drove 10 miles in the wrong direction before I got my mental faculties back and headed for the accident site. Redar, when I approached the car, she was gasping for every breath. I reached inside the car and held her hand, and as I stood outside her car window, I was telling her, "Everything is going to be okay." And she begged me, "Don't let them cut off my legs." I assured her, "Everything will be okay." Our whole marriage, I was able to see our way through any problem that developed, but this time I never felt such a deep hopelessness. She was pinned, and there wasn't a thing I could do. I wanted to grab that car and bend it off her, but as I stood there holding her hand, my blood had drained down to my feet, and I became weak and dizzy, and had to tell her, "Sweetheart, I'll be right back." I walked out of her sight to a nearby tree to sit. I collapsed. After taking many deep breaths, I found myself sitting and leaning against a twin to the oak tree my wife's car was wrapped around. My blood finally came back, and I returned to her window and held her hand as they began to cut her out with the jaws of life. The jaws of life are a pair of steel jaws that are clamped onto a piece of metal, and air is pumped into it, and the jaws close and cut metal almost as easy as cutting paper. Now don't get me wrong, I have nothing but praise and thanks to the boys who cut her out of that predicament. They had their very first lesson the day before my wife's accident on how to use the jaws of life, and my wife's accident was their first trial on using it on a real person. They covered her with a blanket and busted out the windshield. As she gasped for every breath, I stood holding her hand with my gentle, yet strong and calm hand, and yet my legs were shaking and trying to collapse because my heart couldn't pump enough blood to my body. simply bend the car off my wife's breast. They needed the front corner post to tie a come-along to and slowly crank until the steering wheel pulled away from her chest. Well, because their lack of experience with the jaws of life, they cut the front corner post off flush with the body of the car, quickly peeling the roof away, and they had nothing to hook their come-along to that would let them safely bend the car off her collapsed lung and breast. Their only option was to hook the come-along to the steering wheel, and if the steering wheel broke off as they cranked on the come-along, the steering wheel column would snap back and pierce through her heart. That was the longest period of time I had ever held my breath. I finally was able to breathe when the steering wheel held until it had bent the car far enough to where there was no more danger of it snapping back. I was asked to step away from the car as they cut the door off. The paramedic knelt down to evaluate her feet and legs. He slowly turned and told his partner they had to take her legs to get her out. Fortunately, I was standing close enough to hear him. I stepped close to them and said, "Boys, you still have work to do. She asked me to not let you take her legs. You can't take her legs." The paramedic said, "Sir, if we don't get her out of this car and get her to the hospital, she's going to die." I looked at him with my pale face and said, "I'm sorry, but you'll have to do it the hard way. You can't take her legs." The paramedic hollered at one of the firemen to get the spreader. The spreader works just the opposite of the jaws of life. The fireman jammed the spreader as tightly as he could into the crumbled metal that held my wife's legs and began pumping air into it. It slowly began to spread the metal away from her legs. The process was repeated over and over again, taking at least an hour to free her. Excuse me. Holy dar. When they pulled my wife from the car, her legs were bloody and limp like wet noodles, and her left foot was bent in half. They lay her face up on a wooden plank and taped her head to it. And as I walked beside them, as they carried her up the hill, I told her, "I love you, sweetheart." They reached the road above and set her on the stretcher and cut her pants off, then strapped her down and loaded her on the helicopter. I tried to board, but they pulled me down, saying no one can ride except the emergency personnel. The door was slammed shut, and I was asked to move away from the helicopter. And it took off for Lexington, Kentucky. Redar, I was so saddened as I stood there watching the helicopter fly away with the love of my life. "Where's my daughter? Where's my daughter?" I hollered. A policeman told me she was taken to Danville Hospital by ambulance to be treated for her injuries. A friend of mine drove for 40 minutes to Danville Hospital, and we were there an hour before they finally released my daughter, Christy. From there, we drove another 40 minutes to the Lexington Hospital. That day and night at the hospital, wife was near death three times, asking to see our children to say goodbye. After 3 months of hanging in traction and surgeries, my wife was begging to go home. The hospital trained Christy and I how to change Curl-X bandages. Her surgery on her left side required 6 Curl-X bandages stuffed inside her wound and removed 3 times per day with the skillful use of surgical gloves. After our training, they finally released my wife to go home, where she hung in traction in our living room for another 2 months while homeschooling our 3 children, Jason, Christy, and Melissa. That's the end of chapter 1. I hope you have enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.